Hello.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's up? How are you, Brooks?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. You know what I'm going to do today when I'm done this?
What's that?
I'm going to try the Toronto.
Oh, buddy, it's hell.
It looks like it. You do it with 50s. Good luck. Not a chance. If I'm lucky, I'm doing it with 25s.
Oh, that'll still be great. It was one of the hardest workouts I've ever done. It's
Dude,
painful.
it looks insane, man. I'm like, ooh, yeah, okay, I'm going to try this one today. 31 Thoughts, the podcast presented by GMC Sierra Trucks. Elliot, I want to keep this intro tight and bright because we have a lot to get to with former NHLer Brooks Like. We sat down with Brooks a few days ago and had a great conversation about keeping your body healthy right now. We talked about keeping your mind healthy with Michael Gervais a couple of weeks ago here on the podcast. And then we got into some great stories about him, his time with the Washington Capitals, feuding with Alexander Ovechkin, and a great story about his grandfather trying out for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I love this talk with Brooks Like, Elliot.
You know what the thing that for me that was the best about it, Jeff, was that he's so upbeat throughout it. You know, in this day and age, that's important. Now, generally, when people are upbeat, I really hate them. You know, people will be so happy all the time, and I'll be like, get lost. I can't stand people who are that happy all the time. But at this time, in what we're going through, we need people like that. And like throughout this interview, he was really in a great mood and he was really energetic and he was really positive. And that's the kind of thing that people need because we're not going to make it if we don't have that.
And if you watch his videos on Instagram, you think this guy's never had a bad day in his life. Here's Brooks Like on 31 Thoughts, the podcast.
What has to be a sentimental night, an emotion-filled night for Brooks Like, as Verizon Center faithful pour out the love for their former forward and winger, center iceman. Locker has called him at times a Swiss Army knife, a big smile on Brooks's face.
Elliot, a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, we talked a lot about what to do with your mind or how to train your mind. As we're all now learning to deal with the new reality, that's part of it. The other part is learning how to train your body to synchronize with your mind, keeping your brain in shape and doing the same with your body. So, who better to talk to right now than former NHLer Brooks Like? There's a number of ways you can follow him on Instagram at Open Gym at Brooks Like. Also, you can listen to the How Men Think podcast. I want to get into that a little bit later on, but let's stop my long-winded intro and welcome Brooks Like to the podcast. How are you, Brooks?
I'm good, man. I was going to let you keep going. You want to keep going with that intro? You keep going. It's nice to hear.
And then when he was in Washington, he invented the curved stick. He was the first player to ever put tape on his stick as well, and he taught Alexander Ovechkin how to take a one-timer. Am I right on any of those things?
all of them, buddy. I'm gonna claim all of those as mine.
Listen, thanks so much for doing this. And yeah, as we mentioned off the top, we talked a couple of weeks ago about mindfulness and how to mentally approach the new reality that we're all going through. And this is why Open Gym, for a lot of people, is a real godsend. It's helping to keep people physically active with different challenges each and every day. Enough of my words. In your words, describe Open Gym.
Well, Open Gym is it's a training program. We have an app, but it's a training program geared towards keeping people active. That's the main thing. So physical activity in my life has been a blessing, not only for performance, but also for general, just for general wellness and well-being and health in my life. And so when I came out of hockey, as a player, I always loved the physical challenge. I loved intense physical activity. And so it was just part of who I was. I've trained for hockey since I was 13. And then when I came out of hockey, I knew that I would have to continue to have intense physical activity as part of my day. It's just how I express myself. It's how I feel alive. It's as much a mental challenge as a physical one. So I just knew it was going to be a part of my life. And myself and my good friend Matt Hewitt, who won the CrossFit Games Affiliate Series 3 times, stud of an athlete. He was retiring from CrossFit at the same time. And we just kind of blended our ideas, some hockey training, some CrossFit training, and we created Open Gym, which is a program to serve the masses. We have a bodyweight program, which is 20 minutes a day that is bodyweight only, which most people do. That's our biggest community. Then we have a cross train program, which is an hour a day, which is for people, the weekend warrior or the garage gym person, somebody that's got some dumbbells, maybe a barbell, maybe a rower, just some light at home gym equipment. And then we have the pro version, which is what Matt and I do, which is like 4 to 5 hours of intense training a day for somebody that wants to be a pro athlete. So that's the long winded version of it. We also have an ab program, 30 days of abs. But really, it's a way for me to give back, myself and Matt, to give back to people, to share our what we've learned over 20 years of athletics and give this to people. And our mission when we started Open Gym was to make high level fitness available, enjoyable, and affordable to everybody. So that's kind of what we've done.
I was going to say, yeah, this is a wonderful tool. And this morning, because I'm one of these people that's, you know, I've got my, you know, garage gym all set up and I find myself doing the same workout day in and day out because it works for me. But it's not much of a challenge. And as I was saying to you off the air a second ago, the minute this is done, I'm going to try the Toronto.
Yeah.
One, tell people what the Toronto is, and two, how did you come up with that name for it?
So we have what we call signature Open Gym workouts. And these are workouts that we're going to retest from, you know, every 4 to 6 months to gauge how we've improved our fitness. And the reason we call the program Open Gym is because we want it to be open to any gender, any race, any age, any height, any weight, any fitness level. It's open. You are welcome here. And so we create these bodyweight signature workouts. Toronto is one, and we name them with different cities from around the world because I also love to travel and I love to work out when I travel. I still love to stay fit. And so I'll find myself in different cities and areas of the world and I'll create workouts and then I'll just name them for when I was there. And so Toronto is a movement of 50 man makers for time. You can do it with bodyweight or you can do it with dumbbells. But it's an exceptional challenge. I did it with 50-pound dumbbells. You guys can see it on my Instagram. Oof. And it's one of the hardest workouts I've ever did. I don't know if I'll ever do it again. But it's a fun – I just love challenge. I love creative and challenge. And that's the other part, Jeff, you just mentioned you do the same kind of thing every day.
Yeah.
Very rarely – like we'll retest these signature workouts because they're a great measure of how we've improved our fitness over time. But other than that, it's a new workout, a new sequence every single day in Open Gym. You'll barely ever do the same workout twice.
So good. You congratulations, Brooks. You've given people another reason to hate Toronto.
Oh, buddy.
But you know what this is going to do, Elliot, though? This is going to tear you up like a bad report card. When hockey comes back, it's going to be, you're going to be lighting matches off you and you're going to have this beer that's going to distract us the whole time.
Yeah. That's the way I look at it. Absolutely. Now, Brooks, just out of remote curiosity, how much different do you train yourself now that you're a quote unquote regular human as opposed to a day by day hockey player?
Now I do more broad. I mean, I cover every gamut of fitness. So when I trained for hockey, I would always ask my trainer this, does this directly apply to making me a better player on the ice? There was no sense in doing heavy overhead pressing. Right? Because you never press overhead in hockey. So the only reason you would do that would maybe to build some shoulders to be able to absorb and give contact. But that movement just never transitioned to making you a better player. So now I'll do all kinds of gymnastics. I'll do more Olympic lifting. I'll do a lot of power lifting. I'll do a lot of handstand walking, all different kinds of elements of fitness that I never got to do because everything I did before was pretty much single leg explosive power, core development, the ability to snap your hips, a lot of mobility. I still do a lot of mobility, but I only trained sport specific before. Now I'm actually having a lot more fun because I don't have to train that way anymore. I'm not limited to a certain amount of things. I can really open the gamut and train all kinds of fitness now.
I think it's an excellent thing. This is so important now. I mean, where you are, you have a bit better weather than, you know, some of us. Like we're in Toronto and you can't stay out as long. In Toronto, and generally, you can't stay out as long generally right now because of the social distancing everyone's being asked to do. But I think this is so important. I mean, this is going to be a real mental challenge for everyone. And I think physical exercise is so important to that. I think it's fantastic that, look, Connor McDavid, as we're doing this interview, he just launched his own version of this. This is a great thing that you and others are doing.
I appreciate it, man. And good luck to Connor. I'm glad that he's sharing. I would love to see like what he has personally done and participate in some of the exercises that he's personally done. Just at this time, in general, when we talk about a human's life, we talk about the five factors of health. It's how you move, how you rest or sleep, how you eat, how you think, and how you connect with people. So it's move, rest, think, eat, and connect with people. And right now we're able to control four out of those five for sure. You can get some movement, right? And I'm like with the body weight program in the space of 4 or 5 feet, you can get some movement. You can get proper rest. You can control what you eat right now because we're not eating out so much. I mean, we're cooking at home, very healthy choices. The thinking one, I think, is going to be an issue for people. The people, I think, are starting to develop some anxiety, maybe some stress, yes. Some stress with some financial stuff. You know, what's the security of their job? What's, you know, do they have savings? Is their family safe? There's a lot of stress right now. So that's, I think, one that needs work. And then we can still connect with people. FaceTime, phone calls, find a way to still connect with people, yell out your window, you know, or social distance from your neighbor. Like, I want to encourage people that are listening. Those are the, sort of the five factors of health that we look at that really play into a well-rounded, healthy lifestyle. And look at those five things. And if you're struggling right now, it's probably one or two of those areas where you're not doing very well. Maybe you're not able to connect with people right now. Maybe you're not thinking very clearly because you have a lot of stress. You know, maybe you need to read or do some meditation or a little mindfulness, or maybe you're not moving. You know, if you're not moving at all, you're very sedentary, you're stationary, that's going to pull down your health and your wellness in other areas as well. So I would encourage our listeners just, or people listening, just to look at those areas of your life and see how you can elevate those.
You know, I do wonder at the end of all of this, whenever that is, if this becomes just the new normal. I'm talking about more at-home workouts and staying home for physical activity. Like, I enjoy going to the gym. I like working out, but part of it is social as well. I like my friends at the gym. I like all of that. But I do wonder after all of this time, because I'm being conditioned every day. I'm either out on the road for a run or I'm in the gym. Like, I need to do something physical every single day, or, you know, I get that anxiety that you talk about, that buildup.
Yeah.
I do wonder if at the end of this, Brooks, you know, we find ourselves working out at home a lot more. And I'll tell you, just calling around to various distributors just in the area looking to add to the gym. I mean, there's a lot of places that are sold out. Like, good luck getting free weights right now. They are gone. Good luck getting kettlebells or battle ropes. Like, these are gone as everybody is building their own gym right now.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, I've been on the websites too to try and find some more stuff too. And it's Rogue Fitness is completely sold out. Mike Green reached out to me 2 days ago. He's like, hey, buddy, I need to build a home gym. Can you help me out? And I'm like, absolutely. But everything's sold out. But I can make a wish list for you. But I think you're right, Jeff. I think people will. I think there's huge value in having, well, both. I think there's great value in going to a gym and having that community aspect. You get inspired, you get motivated. There's the connection with people there, which is uplifting. But also for people that maybe don't have that much time, or maybe some people are subconscious at a gym, or the commute is too far, an at-home gym is an amazing option. And what we do on Open Gym on our platform, we're on the SugarWad platform. We have a digital community. So many people work out for that community aspect, but a lot of people that can't get to a gym still want that community aspect, but maybe it's digitally this time. It's like social media, but for working out. And so on the app, you can ask questions. You can ask Matt and I questions. How should I do this movement? Or what did you guys do this in? What's your mindset? What's your thought process going into this workout to keep the highest pace? And other members in the community will chime in as well. So there's a bit of a forum option underneath every workout. You can ask questions and post your ideas, posterior. This is how I attack the workout. This is what I found difficult. This was the area that really bottlenecked me. Give your advice to other people, read other people's advice. And then you can enter your scores every day. So like Toronto. So say, Jeff, you go to do the Toronto workout. You'll be able to see what I did that in, the time that I did it in, and any notes that I made there as well. I did it with 50-pound weights, and I tried to do 5 every minute or anything like that. So there's a digital community component to Open Gym as well, which at this time I think is really serving a lot of people.
You know, you did that one, Brooks. I think it was like 13-13 you did it. And I'm not sure whether I should be inspired or discouraged by that. intimidated or inspired. I'm not quite sure yet.
I don't know. Just use it as motivation, man. I say this is what this, and this is a thing I always say, like fitness to each of us is different. Right? Movement to each of us is different. Some people really enjoy running and that's how they want to live their life. They want to run long distances. Other people, fitness to them is lifting real heavy weights, you know, and there's no right or wrong. The fact that we're moving is means that we're winning at life. Yep. So I encourage everybody, don't compare. Comparing divides us, but using somebody as motivation, that unites us. You know, so if you see what I did it in, you're like, oh, wow, that's a great time. Like, that's a really hard workout. I'd love to like achieve something like that as well. I'm going to do this workout. I'm going to do it for what's current to my fitness level. So maybe you're not using 50-pound weights. Maybe you're using 25-pound weights, Jeff, but using other people's times or scores as a motivator, not a comparison. It's so that's why we call it Open Gym. We want everybody to feel inclusive, everybody to feel welcome. But that's also why we'll post our scores, to try and motivate and to try and have some fun with, like, this is what I did it in. What were you able to do? And cool, good for you. You know, it's not a comparison. It's a motivation.
Let me just say, Merrick, if you can't beat 13-13, don't show up to work when this is all over. Like, that's total BS. That's really nice of you, Brooks, to try to set him down easy. But Jeff, don't bother showing up if you don't beat 13-13.
Brooks would give me a nice soft landing there. Thanks, Frege. I thought, oh, this is nice. Oh, I get laid down gently here. Oh, this is great. Yeah, then you come in.
I don't want any of that garbage.
You know what? Almost every workout I post, I almost lead off with, I don't do it because I don't want to scare people. But I think, what's that saying? Ye be warned, all who enter, or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's just like, I want people to try the workouts, but I don't want to scare them too much. But damn, some of them are tough. But they're as tough as that's the beauty about like lightweights or body weight. It's just how hard you can push yourself. You know, we're not loading 400 pounds in the pro version of Open Gym. We're loading some heavyweight and we're pushing some big boy stuff. But in the bodyweight version, it's just how you're moving your body through space, really, is all you're doing. So it's just how hard you can push yourself.
And you know what? I'm a big believer in that. Like, I'm trying some stuff now and it's, some of it is definitely more advanced than what I can do. And I just say, I don't care what my time is going to be. I'm just getting it done. And that is, I just want to say, I've made fun of Jeff, but for everybody out there, I am not in Jeff shape. I just say, I'm going to get it done. You know, Brooks, one thing you talked about before was diet. You know, you can't outrun a bad diet.
Yeah.
So if you could tell people, I've cutting down on sugar. I say I'm only allowed alcoholic drinks twice a week. I can pick whenever they are, but that's it. What small steps would you tell people while you're at home mainly cooking for yourself? Here's how you can make a difference.
One, I want to touch on what you said. Good for you, Elliot, that you prioritize proper movement versus intensity. So I always want to encourage our community, quality first, speed and intensity second. So I train like that. I want to make sure I'm doing proper reps, and then I'll add the intensity and the speed once I make sure that that's proper. So kudos to you on that. Keep that up, buddy. And then for the diet portion, I mean, now more than ever, I think we're in control of our diet. We're not eating out. We're not eating, you know, fast food as much, anything. Like, we're cooking at home and we're in control of what we eat. Like, I agree with what you said. You'll never out-train a poor diet. And your diet starts at the grocery store. I encourage people to shop around the edges of the grocery store. That's the vegetables. That's the natural, the grown foods, the foods that were alive at one point. Stay away from the inside, the aisles of the grocery store. Those are all your processed and packaged foods. Then secondly, I would say, if you're going to eat carbs, a lot of people go, what about carbs? It's the first question with diet. What about carbs? If you're going to eat any carbs or starches, I would say do that prior to about 2 o'clock. After about 2 p.m., your body's natural metabolism will start to slow down and it won't be able to process that, the carbs, as quickly. So if you're going to eat a carb like a pasta or a bread or anything, do that before 2 o'clock. In the evening, try and stick with a meat and a vegetable. So no carbs or starches in the evening, especially because at this time we're probably not moving very much in the evening after 6 p.m. So if you're eating in the evening, a meat and a vegetable, steamed vegetable or something like that, a salad, that's a great meal in the evening. If you want to have a rice or a pasta or a potato or something like that, or a bread, try and do that around noon or prior to 2 o'clock. So the other thing is just portion control, Elliot. If you control your portions, you can still eat the things that most people want to eat. We're looking for sustainability. We're not looking for a crash diet. We want to have a healthy and enjoyable lifestyle. I love also that you give yourself like 2 nights a week. You say, hey, these are my, I'm going to have 2 nights this week and I get to have an alcoholic beverage, because you want to live life and you want to be happy as well too. Right. So, that's kind of the low hanging fruit is where I would start with people.
Are you someone that subscribes to time restricted eating, Brooks?
I'm not, no. To be truthful, Jeff, like there's a ton of diets out there. There's a million diets. There's paleo, yep. There's keto, there's intermittent fasting, there's vegan, there's pescatarian, everything. And I'm just, truth be told, over 20 years of athletics and playing in the NHL for 13 years, I'm so in tune with my energy levels. I just run off energy level. What's my energy level? I know if I still have a reserve tank, it's what I call a reserve tank. It's when I've output a lot, I've put a ton out, but I still have a little backup, a little reserve tank where I can still go. And then I know when I've put out a lot and I'm really tired. And that's when I'll start adding more starches in, or a pasta or something like that. Mainly I'll eat clean breakfast, I'll eat a clean lunch, and I'll eat a big protein and a bunch of vegetables in the evening, steamed vegetables. I eat very clean, but when my energy level starts going down, when I can feel it and I'm super sensitive to it, then I'll add in maybe one or two rices or a rice and a pasta, something like that.
Okay, so this interview so far is too nice. So now we're going to drag it down into the gutter. And what I want to know is, Brooks, which former teammate of yours did you email or text and say, I know you're really out of shape right now and you could really use these workouts?
I don't know if any of my former teammates would do them, man.
No, but you just say, you know, it's trying to help them because you're like, I know your habits are terrible and you're out of shape. Which one did you text?
Mike, you know, Mike Green and I have always been buddies. Ovi too. Ovi chimes in on my workouts. He'll DM me all the time, or just message me with like, oh bro, I did it in this time, but he's obviously he's not doing it. But it's fun. It's actually really fun because I get a lot of banter from Ovi, from Nikki sometimes, Greeny. Guys will chime in on workouts. They'll still see me working out, even though I'm done playing, and they'll chime in on it. So I'll probably help Mike out. Mike's always been like a little brother to me. I've always had to like, come on, Mike, come in the gym. Come on, buddy. He can work. I'll say this about Mike. He can work exceptionally hard. He has the ability to take it to a level that's almost unrivaled when he works. Sometimes it's just tough to get him in there to do it. But yeah, I'll reach out to him. I'll probably call him today. I was supposed to call him yesterday just to help him kind of get geared up and set up for a home gym.
I'm glad you mentioned Alex Ovechkin there a second ago, because I wanted to get somewhere in this conversation. I've always wanted to ask you this one question, Brooks.
Yes, please.
World championships. You run over Alex Ovechkin. What gives?
Oh, it's Canada-Russia, man. That's it. I love Al. I absolutely love Al. He is a great friend. I thoroughly enjoyed every single minute of playing alongside him for a decade. He's maybe the guy I keep in touch with the most, and he keeps in touch with me the most. I really, really enjoy him. He brings a smile to my face. I'd love to see his success. I loved when I saw him win a Stanley Cup. I hope he ends up breaking Wayne's record. I'm such a fan of him too. And we've had our battles over the years. We had wars and quarrels, but I was always on his side and he was always on mine. And I still to this day just thoroughly enjoy watching his exuberance and his joy play when he plays the game. So
I got to ask you that. What was the biggest battle you and Ovi had?
Oh, man. I mean, we got into it at the Worlds there, but it's because he's a competitor and he knows I'm a competitor, right? Like, I will say this about Ovi. I've never in my life seen somebody compete at the level that he competes at. When the game gets hard and when he gets into a game and he competes, you see his eyes, guys. You see it in his eyes. He's ready to kill. Like, he has a level of competition that when he ramps it to that level is unprecedented. I've never seen it in any player, and I've played against a lot of exceptional players, but this guy, man, has an ability to compete. And then when we got into it at the Worlds, I knew I wanted to go at him. I knew also because he was my friend that he would kind of focus on me a little bit, which distracts him from trying to win the hockey game. He's also very good at that. When he gets focused on it, he can run over you, run through you, and it makes him a better player. So you have to be careful with that. Sometimes it's maybe better to let him sleep. But I also just, I respect him, and I just wanted to go at him. Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And then Russia beat us. He was on the Russian team that beat us in the World Junior Championship in Halifax. You know, so right. I wanted to, that was a long time. I've been on the same team for a long time against them, but hockey players have long memories, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to end their run at the World Championship. Also, because I know how much the World Championships mean to him. He's very proud about playing for Russia, extremely proud about playing for Russia. And they beat us then, and I wanted to turn around and beat him now. Didn't happen, but it was fun to play against them.
Let me just ask you one more on him. How long do you think he plays for?
I think he plays another 5-6 years, truthfully. Mm-hmm. He's still able to skate. The game has evolved a little bit. He doesn't need to be as physical as what he used to be. Defensemen aren't as challenging. I mean, when I first came in the league, there was 220-pound defensemen everywhere, and you had to push these guys. Like, he used to run into Colin White and what's the D-man's name in San Jose? The big D man.
Doug Murray.
I mean, they had a classic shift where they hammered each other four times one time. And like, those used to be his nights. He could run these big D men and they would try and run him and he'd ride back with them. He doesn't have to do that as much anymore. The game's changed. Like, the defenders are more about quick feet and about quick stick on puck. It's not so physical anymore. So he doesn't need to be as physical as well. The power play in Washington, you know, Blaine Forsythe runs the power play. It's always been exceptional. And I mean, if he can still pump 40, I mean, he's going to score 50 goals. He might hit 60 if he would have kept going this year. He would have hit 55 at least. Like, that's exceptional production. And so even 4 or 5 years from now, if he's scoring 35 goals, I mean, who wouldn't take a 38, 39-year-old that can score 35 goals? I think Alex can play as long as Alex wants. I think he's just a truly exceptional talent, and he can fire the puck, man, like nobody, I don't think, ever in the history of the game.
Yeah. Best goal scorer the game's ever seen, Brooks.
I agree.
With all due respect to those that came, but the best. I want to ask you three true or false questions about you.
Ooh.
And if there's a story, please tell us. Okay.
Sure.
True or false, you were named after Brooks Robinson, the baseball player.
True. My dad was a huge Brooks Robinson fan. Used to take his radio into school. My dad used to take a radio with him into school and listen to the Baltimore Oriole games in school. Brooks Robinson was his favorite player. And I asked dad why Brooks Robinson. He said he appreciated Brooks Robinson's approach to the game. And I have no idea how my dad got that. This is like in the 60s or 70s when he would like listen to these games. And anyway, I got to meet Brooks in DC. I got to throw out the first pitch at Camden Yards in Baltimore, and meeting Brooks, I met him for 5-10 minutes. He signed a bat for me. He said, "It's an honor to meet you. See you again soon." Brooks Robinson, hockey or baseball Hall of Fame, 1983, which was the exact year that I was born. So he was one of the kindest, gentlest people I've ever met. And I phoned my dad right after I met him. And I said, I got a photo with Brooks. And I phoned my dad and I said, that guy just changed my life. he was so genuine. He literally just changed my life. So yeah, it's a true story.
All right, that's a great story. We'll see if we get another one out of you. True or false, you assisted on Michael Nylander's last goal and William Nylander's first goal.
Yeah, true. Very true. It was so fun, man. I love playing with both of those guys. I remember Willie coming into like the locker room, just this little bobblehead, blonde-haired kid walking into the locker room when he was like 12. I used to love playing with Michael. He made me laugh. Michael was one of the funniest teammates. He wasn't comedy funny. He was just like, watch what this guy's doing. Just watch. Look at Niles right now. Just look at him. Look at him. Look what he's doing. He was in his own world. He was beautiful. And so I always loved playing with Michael, and I got to know Willie back then. And then what a cool connection to be able to assist on Michael's last goal and Willie's first goal. Willie is such a great kid, an exceptional talent. I'm a fan of his for sure. I know he's taken a lot of heat around Toronto, but he is a very, very special talent. I really enjoy him as a person and really enjoy watching him.
He's extinguished a lot of that criticism this year, by the way.
He's been exceptional.
An exceptional year. And last one. All hockey players from Saskatchewan are low maintenance, true or false?
I'm trying to think of somebody who isn't. Who isn't a low maintenance guy from Saskatchewan? I think most guys pretty much are. And here's why. Because this is genuinely why I think guys are, is because to play hockey in Saskatchewan or Manitoba or something, there's a lot of barriers to entry. There's a lot of obstacles. Like, you're driving. I remember we drove 70 miles one way for a practice, and it would be minus 40. The wind would be blowing. You'd be driving 30 miles an hour, if that, down the highway, because the highways were white. It was just covered with snow. It was freezing cold. Your gear was cold out in the back of the truck when you got there. Like, there's a lot of things, because it's so rural, so spread out, so cold. There's a lot of things that you deal with just to get to games and practices when you're younger, which makes you, I think, just, you don't have a lot of convenience. You don't have everything provided for you. You're kind of on your own. You're playing in little rinks around Saskatchewan that are not that nice, but you don't care. You just get to get on the ice and play. And so you just have a different outlook and a different hardiness, I think, about you just coming from there. And I think that's why guys, when they get to the NHL, are pretty simple, pretty easygoing guys. That would be my take on it.
That's a great answer.
Those are great questions, Jeff, I have to say. A couple from me here. First of all, I remember a story because I called Bert Olmsted once to see if he remembered. Bert Olmsted's a Hall of Famer, and he didn't remember, but he believed it could be true. Did Bert Olmsted beat out your grandfather for a spot with the Maple Leafs or the Canadiens?
It was Maple Leafs.
Okay.
I think it was Maple Leafs, yeah. Yeah, Bert Olmsted is from Scepter, which is 10 minutes away from Leader, Saskatchewan, which is where my grandfather, my mom's dad, was from. And my mom's dad was a cowboy. He was a farmer, rancher, cowboy, and also turned out to be a very, very good, just natural hockey player. And then him and Bert Olmsted just on a whim tried out, and Bert Olmsted ended up making it. And my grandfather, I believe, was one of the last cuts. And then when my grandmother, he passed away when my mom was 14, he was in a semi-accident. So I never got to meet him. But then when my grandmother came down to watch me play in DC for the first time, my mom came as well. My mom brought her. And as soon as I hit the ice, she goes, "Oh my God, he skates exactly like Neil." And I was like, "Oh, that was so cool just to hear that." But she's like, "I can't believe it. I'm literally watching Neil. Like, I'm watching Neil skate." And it was really cool. We played Chicago that game, and I ended up scoring the game-winning goal with a couple minutes left. And it was just a beautiful night for us and our family. About one cool story about my grandfather, I have a picture of him. And he was such a proper guy that he would never like snort or like clean his nose out during the game on the ice. He had my grandma stitch a pocket on the backside of his Cooperalls where he could put his hanky in, and he would blow his nose. True story. I swear.
Oh my God.
I swear this has never happened ever in hockey before. He was the only guy that ever did it. But he would blow his nose into his hanky and put it in his back pocket because he just thought it was rude to like clear out his nose on the ice or on the bench or whatever. So I wish I could have met met him. Honestly, it's my mom's, wow. I think, sees a lot of me in him. My grandma obviously does. So I wish I could have met him. But yeah, that's kind of a really neat connection.
That's a great story. I mean, that's the only guy who Curtis Lazar should have eaten the hamburger off the ice with, because he's the only guy who respected that. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that, I mean, obviously your grandfather was a heck of a player, because Bert Olmsted went to the Hall of Fame. So that's how good a player your grandfather was. The second question I had for you is a bit different, Brooks. Like, you were used as an athlete to a certain celebrity status and to know what it's like to be around the media all the time. Obviously, your wife, Julianne Hough, is a huge star. I just wanted to ask you, what was it like going from one level of being in the media coverage to a completely different level?
It's really weird, Elliot. Like, truthfully, that world is so different than ours. Ours, you are, like, in the athlete world, it's basically just at the rink. The media covers you because of what you did in relation to that game or practice or what you're doing. So it's not in your personal life unless you let them into it. You know, unless you want to do, I mean, you're seeing that a lot now where guys are doing at-home interviews or sharing more of their personal lives. Fans really like to see the human more than just the athlete. Whereas when you transition into the other world, I mean, they're invasive of every part of your life. All of a sudden you come around a corner and boom, there's cameras in your face just asking these 10 questions. And right now snapping pictures of you, you're like, whoa. And like, it would sometimes scare and startle my wife. And I'm like, hey, back up, like stay out of her space. Like you realize that she's a 5'3", 110-pound young woman that she could feel like she's being attacked. Like when you crowd somebody's space like that, like that's startling and jolting and can create a sense of fear and insecurity. I'm like, hey, you can do your job. I understand, do your job, but don't do it like that. It's just the invasiveness into the personal life and the opinions and misinterpretations and anything of a person's personal life without having ever spoken to you about it or having any sort of, you don't have to have any credibility or you can just say what you want about, put it online about things you interpret or things you see or your opinion on things. And the really crappy part is we know what's going on. We can talk about anything that comes out or like paparazzi, any of that stuff, but family sometimes sees that stuff and they're just like the rest of people. They just see something and people trust people, right? We trust people. We believe things that are being said are true, especially in the hockey world. You know, if you're used to the hockey world, what's said is usually true in the hockey world. If you're creating rumors or the kind of stuff, you're probably not lasting that long, or false information, you're not lasting that long. So it's tough when you see that kind of stuff make it to family members and then family members ask you about stuff that they've heard about and you're like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, there was this article about in the paparazzi about something. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know. I didn't know they took a picture of me there or took a picture of us there. Or it's just the invasiveness in the private life. That's the part that's unfortunate.
Obviously you guys handle it really well. I just remember talking to Mike Fisher about it once. And, you know, we wanted to do something for Hockey Night in Canada with him and Carrie Underwood. And I remember him just telling me, he said this very similar answer, Brooks. It's that, you know, we're used to a certain level here. That's something else entirely. So it's interesting to hear you guys have a similar experience.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, the entertainment world is just the athlete world. People will still kind of respect your space. And I just mean even the proximity around you. They'll approach you just kind of calmly, like they'll be respectful. Whereas the entertainment world, it's almost like a take. You know, like when Julianne would come to games, like people would just like rush up to her and be like, I want a picture. Like, hey, nice to meet you, Julianne. I'm a big fan of yours. Can I have a picture? Which is kind of how hockey players get asked, like, hey, can I have a picture with you? You're a big fan. You know, can you sign this? In the entertainment world, it's like almost just assumed that people get what they want. Like, that's kind of just, so it's just very invasive in one, your personal space, and two, your personal life. And it's sometimes very unfortunate. I think those things can still be done, but in a respectful and classy manner. But I don't know. It is what it is, man. You do your best with it.
So that's the negative part of it. What's the positives?
Oh, the positive part is, like, truthfully, if you walk in a room, people want to talk to you. You know, people, there might be more successful or smarter or intelligent or something people in the room, but the positive part is like, well, you get to meet a lot of really great people, have great conversations just because people have seen you, seen either me as an athlete, saw her on Dancing with the Stars or in movies or anything like that. I mean, the mm-hmm. lake house that I'm at right now, I'm at our lake house in Idaho. We met the lady when we met the lady, we wanted to buy this house from her. She said she was a huge Boston Bruins fan, so she knew me, and her granddaughter was a huge Dancing with the Stars fan, so she was a big fan of Julianne. And so that connection right there, that human connection, that bond, allowed us to really work out a great deal where she was able to pass on her legacy property to me, to us, to be able to create now another legacy property for my family, you know? So there are some amazing advantages to it that are just blessings. I mean, you get to meet so many people, you get invited to opportunities that you probably never would have gotten invited to before. There's definitely more advantages to it than disadvantages. So there's some parts that it's really opened my eyes and it's been really enjoyable.
Who is the person that you got in a room and you opened your eyes and they were there and you were like, holy smokes?
Oh man, what a great question, Elliot. Oh geez, I'm trying to think of somebody. I also don't like name dropping. Here's the reason is because like when I meet some of these people, so my wife is in the entertainment industry. So when I meet people in that industry, they're exceptionally nice people. And I don't look at them like, I love that they're maybe an actor or an actress or they're in a movie or something, but I don't look at them like, oh my God, this person, like, can I have a photo with you? I'm not a fanboy like that. And when you get to know them, they become real nice people and we have them to our house. We have game nights, and they become friends. They become real good friends. And so you don't look at them as this like person on TV or on film screen. You look at them as a friend. And that's why I have a difficult time of like sort of objectifying them in that way.
I think that's a very good, respectful answer. So let me end with this one for me, and then Jeff will have his last one. When you bought your cabin from that Bruins fan, did you remind them that you knocked them out in the first round so they couldn't repeat for the Stanley Cup?
Well, it was 4 years later. I bought this in 2014, and it was 2010 when Wardo scored that goal and we knocked them out. But that series, man, that was such a great series. Every single game, all seven games in 2010 against Boston, the first round, were one-goal games, and it was the first time in NHL history that had ever happened. Wow. That series was so much fun to be a part of. But I can't remember if I talked about that with Regina or not, but it was 4 years later, so I'm sure she had time to get over the hurt.
I think, was that with you, Chimera, and Ward? Was it that line? That line was real good.
I love that line. Yeah, that was a fun line. Nicholas Backstrom used to call us the meats and potato line. Cause most people say meat and potatoes, and Nicky, sometimes he just botches words like that. He's like, yeah, you guys are good. Just meats and potato. And we're like, so that became the running joke, and just the meats and potato, you guys are up. And we're like, well, who's the potato on the line? You know, who are the meats and who's the potato? But it was fun. I really enjoyed playing with Jason. I really enjoyed playing with Joel. That was a really fun line to be on. Really fun.
That was a good line. Okay, last one for me. We started by talking about exercise and working out. So in my little garage gym, on my chalkboard, I have written, suffer the pain of discipline or suffer the pain of regrets.
Ooh.
Is there something inspirational that you say to yourself before you work out?
It's very simple. This is fun, damn it. I work out because I love it, right? It's fun for me. I used to work out because it allowed me to be an elite performer. And I still have aspirations. I want to compete in the CrossFit Games. I want to compete against the best of the world in fitness. Wow. So I do have aspirations still athletically. They're very different than what they were before. But I always remind myself that this is fun. I do this because I choose to. You know, I was fortunate to play hockey, made a good amount of money and saved most of it. In the course of my career, I don't need to take a job. I get to pretty much do what I want with my day. And so me being in the gym means that I choose to be there. I don't have to be there. I choose to be there. So I get to do this. I don't have to do this. And so I always want to make it fun. You're always going to gravitate most towards things that are the most fun. Mm-hmm. So we always try and make the workouts fun. That being said, sometimes they become just miserable. Jeff, you'll find out when you do Toronto with 25 pound dumbbells, you'll be like, holy, what am I doing this for? And that's where we say, this is fun, damn it.
So. Yeah. And this interview has been really long. And I think part of it, honestly, Brooks, is me putting off getting in my garage and doing the Toronto, but that is up next for me this afternoon. Listen, you've been really generous with your time. Thanks so much for parking some time with us today. Best of luck with Open Gym, and we'll keep in touch, and we'll catch up down the road.
Guys, I appreciate you. It's when you're on the other side of the game, it's actually really enjoyable to talk about the game because you're able to do it in a way that you never really could as a current player. And so I always appreciate opportunities to talk about teammates, friends, stories from the past, where life is going now and how the game has impacted my life and how I miss the people, miss you. Like I said, Elliot, when you jumped on the call, man, I miss you, buddy. So I really appreciate you guys having me on. Would love to do it again sometime, and best wishes to everybody. Stay safe, but stay active.
Great advice.
We'll make that happen. Thanks so much for this, Brooks. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks, Brooks.
Yeah, thank you.